In a few moments, we are going to partake of the Lord's Supper, so we'll ask one more time, just in case anybody came in, does everybody have the elements for the Lord's Supper? If not, raise your hand. We can get that to you really quickly. Thank you, Bernard. I'm sure you're familiar with Comic-Con. I think most people are. It's a pretty famous convention where fans of all things comics gather together to share their passion and their zeal for imaginary characters. They will purchase these tickets as soon as they go on sale. They are not easy to get. People will travel all across the country to be a part of the convention, overcoming any number of obstacles. And there's good reason for it. Their heroes are there. Their celebrities will show up there and will give them opportunity to meet them, to get an autograph from them. And it is common at such conventions for large masses of people to get into a large room in front of this large stadium and the stage. And then they'll have the contest, the costume contest. And everybody gets to see how people have dressed up. Well, I would like for you to imagine this morning with me that there was a great convention for Jesus. And the people that had a great passion for him would overcome every obstacle, any distance, to gather together to celebrate their passion and share their zeal with Jesus. But it's a special convention we're imagining today. I certainly hope all of us would be there. But it's a special convention because it's not just one where you and I can go there, but it is one that is timeless. And so the people from the first century that had met Jesus could be there. And instead of calling the people on stage who have a costume, we would call the people on stage, every single one of them who'd been healed by Jesus. How large is that stage? In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it says, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases, with pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. And you think about all these people that you read about in the Gospels, and every single one of them that Jesus had healed is now getting up on this stage. And I just can't even imagine how big that stage would have to be. How many people Jesus profoundly impacted. Now imagine we told those people on the stage, I want you to remember Jesus. Do you think they would struggle? Do you think they would be distracted? He had profoundly changed their life. Every day, I'm sure, they thought about Jesus. And they thought about what he had done. But it is common at such conventions, there's sometimes an opportunity for the crowd to participate, to maybe ask questions of this panel of people up in front. And so somebody comes forward and they ask the question, which ones of you received the most impressive miracle? Which healing do you think was most impressive? And it's a good question, and now everybody's quite curious. And perhaps it is a woman who steps forward first. And I imagine everybody who is healed would consider their own miracle to be of great significance. But one woman steps forward and says, it's got to be me. I had this bleeding issue. And it's not so much the bleeding issue that was the problem. It was that for 12 years I had it, and I went to every doctor I could, and I spent every dime I had, and I endured what I can only describe as torture at their hands, and nobody could heal me, but Jesus did. Certainly, my miracle was the greatest. But I'm sure there would not take any time at all for somebody else to get forward, and at least 11 people would stand forward and say, yeah, that's nice, that's a nice miracle. But we had an incurable disease that kept us from being able to go into towns. Our flesh was rotting, and Jesus healed us. Surely our miracle is the most impressive. But then one man, and of course there would be several people behind him, but one man says, I had a miracle that no prophet had ever done before. I was born blind. And of course he would begin with a joke, and he would start off by saying, it's good to see all of you this today. Because that was everything for him. He was gained sight. And there are several people behind him saying, we were blind too. One of them would say, I was mute and blind. And he healed us. Surely our miracle, our healing, is the most impressive. But then there's, I don't know how large this crowd was, but a number of people that stepped forward, including women, and said, that's a nice miracle, healing from leprosy, healing from blindness. We were conquered. We were attacked by demons, by evil spirits. I cannot tell you how harsh, how horrible that was. Some of us had countless demons within us. Mary, a fan favorite, could say, I had 7. Surely our miracle, our healing is the greatest. And I'm sure there would be many people that would be quite impressed with that. Until a girl and 2 men took the front of the stage. And one of them said, hi, my name's Lazarus. And for 4 days, I was in a tomb and dead. And this girl and this man behind me, while their family was mourning because they had died, while that was happening, Jesus came and gave us life. What could possibly be more impressive than that? And I'm sure that many of us would agree. Let's vote. This is it. This is the greatest miracle. But right before we vote, right before we all cheer and say, yes, that was the most impressive thing, a man and a woman walk up to the podium. And a hush comes across the crowd. Who would have the audacity to think that they had received a greater healing than the resurrection from the dead? And somebody in the audience recognizes the man and says, get down! So you were a paralytic. That doesn't compare to these other things. But the woman steps up and says, yes, he was paralyzed, but that's not why we're up here. I've always been able to walk. We have a greater disease. You may not have seen it in him, but it was all anybody could see in me. Every person who saw me knew me as the sinner. Every person knew my guilt. And my soul was defiled. It was my soul that was diseased. And no disease can compare to that of sin. No disease has spread further. No disease has caused as much pain and as much death as sin. But this man next to me and myself, we heard Jesus say, your sins are forgiven. No greater healing has ever happened than the forgiveness of sins. And as it turns out in this great convention, that's the miracle we all received. The greatest one of all was the forgiveness of sins. Remember how easily they would remember Jesus? How easily it should be for us. Jesus said as he instituted the Lord's Supper, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." On the day of Pentecost, when the people realized their guilt, having rejected the Son of God, they cried out, "What must we do?" And Peter's response is, "Repent, and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." And then later in Acts chapter 10, Peter reminds us of him, of Jesus. "All the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins." This is our convention. We are the people of passion who've gathered together to remember Jesus. And we are the ones who were healed. Let our zeal never be surpassed by Comic-Con. Let us remember our Lord and Savior through partaking of the Lord's Supper.